Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. We have the host of the Believe in Steelers podcast, Mark Bergen. Did I say that right? I think so, yeah.
It's Bergen, but I'll forgive Bergen. You.
Oh, yeah, sorry. And former Steeler, Ike Taylor, who's going to join us very, very soon.
Live via satellite.
Yeah, and so, look, Mark, this is a matchup of two powerhouse teams. The Bengals, you know, lost a bunch of games that they should have won by a few, maybe a couple of points here and there. They really should be 7-0-1 or something. And the Steelers, from what I've heard, are having a good season. So you have the prime matchup of the offensive line of the Bengals, the rejuvenated offensive, rebuilt offensive line against the Steelers defensive line. How do you see that playing out?
Fellas, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. It's an honor, and it's always fun to do the Cross Show Believe Podcast Network shows and podcasts. So we've got an AFC North rivalry this weekend between the Bengals and the Steelers. Steelers have been a bit beat up on the offensive line. Tyson Alualu has been out with an injury. Cam Hayward played last Sunday with a quad injury against the Cowboys, but this is a Steelers defense that's been a bit decimated the last 2 weeks by both the Cowboys and the Ravens from being able to stop the run. And so that, to me, is going to be a big key in Sunday's game. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this right off the top. There's times I like doing the show either on Mondays or Tuesdays, but Ben Roethlisberger and Vince Williams are added to the Pittsburgh Steelers COVID-19 list, and that's because they were deemed high risk after close contact with tight end Vance McDonald, who returned with a positive test for the virus on Monday. Darrell Hawkins and Jalen Samuels also added to the COVID-19 list. So this game opened as a 9.5-point favorite, Steelers favorite over the Bengals. It's now off the board. I would imagine that line will move quite a bit. Again, you can't even wager on that with this morning's news about Ben Roethlisberger and company. So we'll see what happens there. But an AFC North matchup, I cannot wait for on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, look, for the best for old Big Ben. Can't lie. It's going to be easier to play a game without him on our end. But yeah, we hope for his recovery.
Yeah. I will say, I can't really blame him. There was so much activity the past couple of weeks, so many rallies to attend. It is very hard to avoid the virus. And also, I mean, you think about the hit the economy is taking, really the wearing the masks and kind of all the hysteria. I totally understand his position with going out there and hopefully he is okay. So, look.
It sounds like maybe you saw him somewhere that you were and you guys were there together. I can imagine the scene.
Well, we were just supporting our country and democracy. Yeah,
Pennsylvania was a big important place, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just we want fair and orderly elections. And, right, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, you have to refer to higher powers to resolve issues. And I'm sure Ben is on top of all of that.
Yeah, those total landscaping places. Those are hotbeds, you know.
Yeah. Four Seasons Landscaping. You know, Daddy owns Four Seasons Landscaping. I don't even know that, John.
I remember him saying something like that. But it is important to note that Ben does not have COVID-19. I think there are 10 players total for both teams combined that are on the COVID reserve list. Three of them have been confirmed positive. Two of them for the Bengals, but one of them, Trey Waynes, he's on IR. So this game can still very much be played as long as the seven of them who are deemed close contact, high risk, test negative throughout the week.
Yeah, Big Ben, Hawkins, Samuels, and Williams must isolate for 5 days. Again, they might not necessarily have COVID-19, but again, they were in close proximity to Vance McDonald, the Steelers tight end who does. And so they will not be allowed at the Steelers practice facility for at least 5 days. They can participate virtually. You can imagine the challenges that that entails, just because, again, you're not physically there amongst your teammates getting ready in preparation for this game. And so that's going to be a challenge for the Steelers. Again, I look to see what that line moves to. The Steelers opened as a 9.5-point favorite. What does that move to? Is it less than a touchdown now? Is it 3 points? And if Mason Rudolph has to start for Big Ben, we saw how the Steelers struggled at times with Rudolph as their quarterback. So that's something I'm curious to see. The Steelers have more offensive weapons than they had a season ago, no doubt. But we'll see what happens, and especially going up against a team in your division, team you see at least twice every single year, it's going to be a challenge for Pittsburgh on Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of my favorite, the 12-year veteran cornerback superstar Ike Taylor has joined us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is, it's an honor. Yeah.
Wow.
This is very interesting.
Thank you, Ike.
I love it. Like, I had to walk away because I was laughing so hard. This is something new and exciting.
Thank you, Ike. I think it is perfectly fine to go on other shows of your rivals. I know it is interesting and strange, but I think it is important that we join hands in this time of disunity. You know,
I agree with you 100%. Sizes, different creatures. We need to join hands, and this is what we about to do on this show.
Different creatures. Yeah. I love it, Ike.
What was like? Is there something on my shirt? Is that why Ike was laughing? Like, is something like wrong with the broadcast?
No, you're wearing your hat the wrong way.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I think it might be Daddy's very strange setup. It looks like, yeah, where are you? In a jail? Are you in prison, Daddy?
Yeah, well, okay.
That's the new style. I see you got shower curtains.
Thank you, Ike. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was very expensive. Yeah, it was very expensive, but I am actually in Village Island. Thank you.
And it's our mother island.
We have limitations. Yeah, we have limitations on how we can do the show because, the president, he's been president for 47 years, but the president of Village Island, he's a Steelers fan, actually. Okay. And so he has embargoed the show, and I have to do it in this, let's just call it the basement. We just call it the basement. Yeah, okay. But I can't move around a lot, but it's okay. Yeah.
Looks kind of like jail. Looks like Daddy was in jail.
Yeah,
locked him up.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, it's okay. I will rehabilitate myself. Like, and you know, America loves a comeback story. And I'm so happy to see that you, after being a Steeler for 12 years, you are now reaching out and touching the lives of so many people with your show, because we are used to the Steelers actually hurting us as Bengals. And so yeah. A lot of pain that you have inflicted upon us. Yeah.
Well, look, I want to appreciate for inviting me and my co-host Mark Bergen on the show. Just taking the time out. Y'all giving us the invite, man. It's a collab. So once again, fellas, I just want to appreciate y'all just taking the time. Sorry I was a couple of minutes late.
Don't worry about actually it.
At my son's school, the first time actually being outside with them. So we got a chance to play like a dodgeball. So that's what we was doing. So again, man, I just want to appreciate y'all for inviting us on the show.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. So we were talking about the matchup, and obviously, you know, the Bengals offensive line doesn't match up well against the Steelers offensive line. But you know what we do have? I mean, especially if Roethlisberger is out, is our quarterback is really, I mean, he's the best quarterback in the AFC North. You know, that's what everybody's saying now. It was Roethlisberger for about 15, 17 years, but it's our time now, basically. Is what everybody, I'm not saying, that's what everybody's saying. Yeah, I think Mark said that when you were gone. Yeah.
I like Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow a lot. Just coming from the state of Louisiana, I went to Lafayette, Louisiana, down the street from LSU and Baton Rouge. And the one thing, just coming out, if you was a receiver out of LSU, it was, damn, man, they got all these talented receivers and the quarterback just can't get them the ball. So you see a lot of first, second round, third round receivers leave LSU. And you're like, man, how are these guys getting drafted? Their stats don't look good. But it's because they just had some kind of way and there was a malfunction on the quarterback part or not even having a quarterback. So you catch a Joe Burrow. And Mark and I was talking last year. Joe Burrow made every pass you can make. He made the back shoulder pass. He made the deep ball pass. He made a soft swing pass with the running back coming out the backfield. His placement as a quarterback is unbelievable. So when Joe Burrow came out, I know it was a lot of question marks, and the question marks was, well, he was at Ohio State and why he couldn't make it at Ohio State. But some things just don't, some things aren't meant. And for Joe Burrow to be up there at Ohio State, it wasn't meant. And there was a reason why he came down to LSU. Not only he's a heck of a quarterback, but just from the guys being around him, you can tell he's just a heck of a teammate. Yeah. And that's what you want as a quarterback. But what Joe Burrow possesses, you can tell he's just a good soul. He's a good spirited guy. But when you want to talk about that quarterback position, Joe Burrow can make every throw. And the best throws he makes are placement throws, which is hard to do as a quarterback, one, let alone in the NFL. And he's doing that now. It's hope for Cincinnati. And
I see
the hope for Cincinnati.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to use that opportunity to make a prediction, Daddy. Yeah. Right here on the show, right in front of our friends who are Steelers fans. Yeah. And that is, there's been a lot of debate about Tua and Herbert and comparing them to Burrow. I think that Burrow is going to rise up at the end of this year and the beginning of next year to be the top quarterback in the NFL. And he will remain so, the greatest in the league, until April 13th, Friday the 13th, 2029. That's when his ascendancy will end. Why that date, you ask me? That is because there will be a major world event on that day. An asteroid, Apophis, which 26.99 billion kilograms will strike the Earth. It will be a sad day for humanity. It will be the end of humanity.
It
will be a happy day for Bengals fans because we will have gone out on top.
Well, let me piggyback off what Ike was saying about Joe Burrow, and I'll say in the AFC North. You look at his demeanor and how he's played this season, getting his brains beat in at times because the Bengals' offensive line has been suspect throughout thus far this season. But you look at the AFC North for the next 5, 10, 15 years, assuming we get past that event in 2029. If you look at the AFC North, which quarterback would you want to have? The Browns aren't sure whether they're going to pick up Baker Mayfield's fifth-year option on his rookie deal. Big Ben's in year 17 will likely be out of the league in the next 5-10 years. You look at Lamar Jackson, who's coming off an MVP campaign, but we know the longevity of running mobile quarterbacks. He's done a pretty good job of avoiding big hits, but what his history shown us about that position in terms of a guy who's traditionally a runner. And then you look at Burrow, someone who is a traditional pocket passer, someone who moves around well in the pocket in extending plays. So from a longevity standpoint, I really like Burrow and the Bengals if you look at how he stacks up against the other teams in the AFC North.
And really, you guys have a young quarterback as well. I mean, Mason Rudolph, this guy, you know, might not be a racist. That's how good this guy is. When you look at, you know, his history with the Steelers, there's so much promise. And so we're very, very much, I'll put it like this. We really hope he is the successor to Roethlisberger in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's tough. But honestly, I'll take Joe Burrow right now.
And yeah, same.
Yeah, I would definitely take Joe. And there's no disrespect to Mace, and I love Mace, but Joe Burrow is doing a lot with a little. And what I mean by that is the shuffling of the offensive line. He has receivers. Between T. Higgins, which is looking like it's going to be his go-to guy, Tyler Boyd quietly coming out of the University of Pittsburgh, been balling for the last 2 years in that slot. So he got young guys. They got Joe Mixon. He's been hurt. Bernard has been balling as the backup running back. So they got a few pieces. They haven't been blown out. Cincinnati this year, by far, it's been shootout, so they've been finding a way to lose. But as far as like just a blowout, Joe Burrow has kept them in every game, in my opinion, every game. But, so it's just a matter of time. There's only a few franchise quarterbacks that you can say he's our franchise guy. And between Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, I can honestly say, just my personal opinion, those two guys are franchise quarterbacks. You got the guy. You hit the lotto.
Yeah, we got him.
Yeah, thank you. You know, Ike, I want to ask you, because that is our strength, Joe Burrow. It's not, you can't say it's the offense or the passing game. It's one guy. Your strength as a team is the defense. Now, really, I mean, when you look at the Bengals receivers, right, they're emerging. You have T. Higgins. You have Tyler Boyd, who's already a star. And you see the guys like Auden Tate. You got all these playmakers. Do you think they'll be able to get separation against your secondary? Because I don't imagine we'll be running the ball very well, because Joe Mixon's probably out, and you have a stout defensive line. So, as a former member of the secondary, what do you see on that matchup?
Well, it's really, this game wouldn't be a matchup game. This game would be a scheme game. This game for Cincinnati would be a don't turn the ball over game. This game would be for Cincinnati would be, let's see if we can hold the ball as long as we can and not have our defense out on the field any longer. This game would be, let's see what the Dallas Cowboys did to at least hold the score down that long. That's the kind of game that Cincinnati will look at trying to play the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially on defense. Offensively, Pittsburgh can run with anybody in the league. They got too many weapons, a lot of weapons. It just depends on how Big Ben plays that day. But from a defensive standpoint, if I'm Cincinnati, schematically, and I'm looking at how can we win, I'm going right back to the last game, which was that Dallas Cowboys game, and I'm seeing how they did things, whether it's an offensive front, whether they saw something defensive-wise front that they might have liked. But just to hold the ball that long and give yourself a chance, which Dallas did last week, that's what I'm doing. If I'm Cincinnati, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm trying to see schematically what can I do to at least keep myself in the game.
Yeah, well, I want to actually go to John. We haven't heard a lot from
Daniel. Can you go to me real quick? Because I'm going to go. I got to log off. Okay, I just want to make one prediction, which is I think that the Bengals actually are going to win this one, since you always ask me what will happen. Right. And the reason, I'll just say in 10 seconds right now, the reason is that the Bengals have nothing to lose. They're the team with nothing to lose. They're like your, no offense, Trump voter. The Trump voters got nothing to lose. He's lost his job at the factory.
They haven't lost anything yet, but the rubber nipper
factory or whatever. So he goes to the post office and he starts to scream about fraudulent votes. That's us. Right. This is a fraudulent season. We want to do over on the season, man. We have nothing to lose. Right. We're going to win. Okay, bye, everybody.
Fake news. Okay.
Right, see you, man. Nice to meet you. Love you. Right, mwah. Bye.
Right, yes. So we only got a couple of minutes left. But John, Ike talked about this schematically, and we know the Bengals coaching staff is not the most capable. Can they, will they? I mean, just knowing what you know from them, what can they install schematically to counter the Steelers?
On offense or defense? Because, I mean, either would be helpful. But, I look at the Steelers' offense, and I think they have so much more potential to be like a downfield offense. But I mean, honestly, Ben has not been throwing the ball down the field that much. So there's an opportunity for the secondary to just make plays, you know, in front of the sticks and maybe potentially limit drives. But I think they have to look at the Ravens game and see like that is a blueprint for how the Steelers can just completely destroy Joe Burrow's confidence in the pocket and any flow that they have offensively. So they're going to have issues with protecting against the Steelers defense line, no matter if Cam Hayward or Tyson Lue are a little bit banged up. TJ Watt is still a guy that can wreck this game against whoever is at right tackle for the Bengals. That's going to be the biggest difference in this game. If they can keep Burrow clean, a lot more clean than they did against the Ravens, I think they have a chance to make this game competitive if a lot of these guys end up playing off the COVID list. But it's going to be a lot of learning from those mistakes from week five.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you mentioned the secondary. And I would say, I mean, Jesse Bates, you know, Ike Taylor, I want to know your opinion. I mean, this guy is going to be a star very soon. I mean, this guy, he already is. I mean, but he's going to, you know, he can pick off Ben if he's not careful a few times. So that's something to watch out for. Yeah.
It's number reps and confidence.
Yeah.
You know, playing in that secondary, you got to have a short memory, a damn near, I don't care what happens.
Maybe, exactly.
Coach T always came with that gunfighters get shot. And you got to understand, man, when you're shooting, somebody going to shoot back at you. And meaning that is sometimes you're going to make your plays. Sometimes the receivers going to make their plays, depending on how good the quarterback is on placing that ball.
So exactly.
You got to understand what comes with the territory. And it's big plays. And you want to eliminate as a corner. You want to eliminate as many big plays as possible in your career. Bates so far has been balling. He's not an unsung hero. He's just not talked about as much. But reps, game time, game plan, getting burnt a few times are really kind of put things in perspective. Cincinnati scares me. And I think I said this last week. And the reason why is they got a pretty good team. If Dallas was in this situation, If Cincinnati was in a situation, I think last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think they might have pulled it off, all because of Joe Burrow. You know?
Well, I would thank you. Thank you for the compliments. But I would say, Ike, against the Steelers, historically, the Bengals underperform. And it's like we can't tackle. I don't know what happens, you know? We just lose our composure against the Steelers. And I don't know if with Zach Taylor, if it's a new era with Joe Burrow, because he's such a mentally tough guy, if things are going to be different. But we've had problems with that. So, yeah, but we will see. I mean, John, what have you seen from this team to say that maybe look, I don't like blaming Marvin Lewis. I don't like saying he was the problem. It's a franchise problem. But what have you seen from the Bengals to suggest that maybe this time they won't get discombobulated by the Steelers?
It may not be anything that we've seen, but I want to credit Zimpude, who also has a podcast, Cincy Jungle, for saying that like a lot of the Bengals roster, like they haven't really been around for as long past into like the Marvin Lewis era when it was just always the Steelers dominating. I think for the most part, the roster is compiled of guys who are more or less fresh blood and aren't really interested in like the whole history of this rivalry in terms of the Steelers being the top guys. So I think there's a difference in mentality where you might not have that lull that we usually see. But at the same time, the Steelers are still the big brothers in this rivalry or in this matchup, and they're still the better team. They have to take that confidence and actually put it to use.
Abusive big brother. Yeah, exactly. You know, one of those big brothers where when you finally reach maturity, you never want to see again. Right. Okay. Well, Mark, any final thoughts? I'm sorry you haven't really gotten to chime in, but any final thoughts before we close the show?
No, I would expect the Steelers to win this one at home at Heinz Field, but I'm still looking at, okay, the four Steelers players that are on the COVID-19 list, do they play? Don't they play? How does that impact this game? And when the line opened up at 9.5, even though I like the Steelers to win, I like the Bengals to cover that 9.5. I'm curious to see what that number goes down to, whether Big Ben plays. I could probably tell you more about the schematics of Vince Williams on the defense. He's been a huge integral part of this defense, one of the league leaders in tackles for a loss, and has played extremely well, especially without Devin Bush, another inside linebacker who is now out for the season. So I would expect the Steelers to win a close one. Again, I like the Bengals to cover, but I want to see what that line is and what it moves to depending on the Steelers players that are on the COVID-19 list.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this COVID thing has, you know, so many people were just cruising to success, and it's just ruined everything. You know, look at this country, you know, the economy, everything was just so, you know, so great. And then all of a sudden this COVID, it's almost like it was, you know, I don't know. It was almost like it was a plan. Who knows? But look, that is all we have for this show. Don't forget to listen and subscribe to Believe in the Steelers with Ike Taylor and Mark Bergen. And also to subscribe to our show and leave a 5-star review. Please don't be cheap. And so we will see what happens. I mean, you know, I predict the Bengals, a victory. I think maybe, I think Joe Burrow has is an okay game. Maybe like 9 or 10 touchdowns, maybe. And we score about 60, 70 points. But we will see. We will see what happens. Okay, that is all we have for this show. Thank you to Mark and to Ike and to John Sheeran and Dr. Hoji Electric Smoji.
We will see you next time. So long. It's Meety. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.